Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another episode of Lap Traffic Podcast. As always, my name's Tony Smith, along with the professor, Brandon Kraut. How you doing, B?
What's up, sir? How are you?
I am doing good, man. Things are starting to heat up. I'm getting excited. It's that time of year. I know, right? I know.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl's right
Daytona.
Around the corner. I know, right?
Oh, it's a great month. You know, a lot of people complain about February. I love it.
I'm good. I'm all good. I don't have any problem with it at all.
I mean, the weather outside is kind of nasty. You never know what you're going to get in this state.
This country. I mean, I saw a couple weeks ago, it was like 49 out of 50 states had snow.
Wow.
You know, like Florida didn't. And right, it was like in the 30s there. I just got back from New Orleans the other day. It was 44 degrees and had 30 mile an hour winds. So it wasn't exactly balmy there either.
That's nuts.
Yeah, you never know. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spring is a coming.
Hopefully. Yes.
Yeah, man.
It's almost here.
But Super Bowl weekend.
Woo. Super Bowl.
So we got the Super Bowl. Then we got the Super Bowl
of NASCAR.
Of motor racing. Yeah, man.
So speaking of the Super Bowl, some of our fans may be aware of another podcast that's out there called the PETM Show.
Them Georgia Boys.
Them Georgia Boys. And a challenge was issued, Tony. A challenge.
Yeah, we're always up for a challenge.
And we're not ones to back down from a challenge.
Detroit versus the world.
Well,
bring it.
It's New England / Detroit versus the world. So the PETM guys are from Atlanta and big Falcon fans. And they issued us a challenge because they've listened to the show like we listen to theirs and heard that I'm a big Patriots fan. So if the Patriots lose, which, I mean, let's be honest, it's not going to happen. However, on the off shot that they do, we are going to start our show next week by playing the Rise Up song that they play for the Falcons.
And now, to be fair to everyone, I was not part of any of this conversation. I wasn't privy to any of this. I wasn't anything. How long is that song?
30 seconds. Oh, I think we can suffer through it if we have to. And they are going to, they do their show live with a Periscope feed.
Yeah.
And they are going to wear a Patriots jersey, which I offered. I sent them a tweet with all three of my Tom Brady jerseys, red, white, and blue. I had options available for them, and I offered to send them one if they needed it. But they said they have one readily available. When needed, not if needed.
Got it.
But it's funny, you know, we're talking about all that, and I was actually joking with them that, and I said, you know, all good stories start this way, and I think Tony will agree with me on this. All good stories start when you start it with, I accidentally ended up in Vegas over the summer.
Yeah, I accidentally end up there like 8 times a year.
Right.
Different story.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll have a Lap Traffic After Hours podcast one time. Maybe we can tell some funny stories. But this story is not too bad. So over the summer, my wife and I, along with two other couples, scheduled a trip to go out to Seattle to see the Tigers play Seattle for a series.
Oh, I forgot about this trip.
Yeah. Okay. So the day we're supposed to leave is when Delta, I think it was Delta, had that big issue where they literally just were grounding flights because of technical computer issues.
Their computers went down. My daughter was stuck in Chicago.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So we were supposed to have a direct flight from Detroit to Seattle, and about 3 hours beforehand, they canceled the flight. So I'm getting on the phone with the other couple because the one couple was already there. They went a couple days early. And it gave us options to pick a new flight track. I said, the guy's name is Bob. I said, Bob, I go, we can leave Detroit an hour later, have a 3-hour layover in Las Vegas, and still make it to Seattle tonight. He's like, all right, let's do it. So we made the switch. The four of us got on the plane.
It's pretty easy to kill 3 hours in Vegas.
Right. I'm like, I know, I'm pretty sure there's a slot machine somewhere in that airport, right? So we get there. grab some food, and we, you know, play some slots. And the flight from Seattle, or I'm sorry, from Las Vegas to Seattle was delayed 2 hours more. So we're now looking at not even getting to Seattle until about midnight West Coast time. Mind you, we've been up since 6 a.m. Detroit time.
That's a long day.
It's a long day. So about an hour before we're supposed to go board for that flight, they end up canceling that flight. So now we're in Vegas. They put us up in a hotel room with a new 6 a.m. flight out the next day, basically, you know. But we're now randomly at the South Point Casino. I think we know a guy that might have that as a sponsor or something, maybe.
Brandon Gone.
So we're at South Point, and they got a sports book. I'm like, well, I'm not going to bed. I'm going to the sports book, and then I'll be at the tables. So I ended up placing two bets on the Patriots back in August. Yeah. Of the first one was, what would the Patriots' record be the first four games without Tom Brady?
And you just about won that.
And I almost took that. I took 4-0 and almost. I came real close on that one. Yeah. And then I took a Super Bowl bet. So I might have some money coming
my
way.
I'm still alive.
So, yeah. So that's my random how I accidentally ended up in Vegas for 24 hours.
That is pretty accidental.
We finally got to Seattle, obviously, the next day. And we had tickets for the game for that night. And, of course, that game went 15 innings. Like, I don't think I've ever been that tired. It was a long 36
that's
hours
a long
right
couple
there.
Days.
Yeah, it was.
I just actually just got paid. I just mailed in my ticket. I picked Jimmy Johnson. Well over a year
I
in
forgot
advance.
About that. Yeah,
and so I just got that in. So that was
nice.
That was way cool.
Nice.
So man, you know, there's so many bets. So Super Bowl time,
right?
Unbelievable. I mean, there's the obvious ones like heads and tails. Will the kickoff be a touchback,
right?
Or not?
Yeah.
You know, there's some crazy things. So
I remember a couple years ago, the first play of the game was a safety.
Oh yeah,
I think Vegas lost a little bit of money.
Yeah,
day, that day.
So I looked up a couple things. I was actually in PETM's backyard yesterday. I had a layover in Atlanta, so I looked up a couple of prop bets just for fun. So check this out because I love this, especially if you go to like Westgate out there has a really cool sports book and they do some really crazy prop bets. Here's some of them.
All right.
So how many times will Gronk or Gronkowski be said during the game?
Wow.
Over or under three?
Oh, over.
Over three.
All day.
Okay.
All day.
All right. So, since the Super Bowl is going to be in Houston,
yes,
will anybody during the broadcast say, Houston, we have a problem?
Yes. Okay. Especially if it's a blowout.
Yep. Okay, and they've done this one before, and I've seen this one with another person, but which will be higher? Steph Curry's points and assists that night, or the total of the Pats Falcons first half score?
Wow, that's crazy. Like who cross, right? Someone's got to sit there and crunch numbers on that to come
totally
up with
like,
that,
like
right?
Who figures this out?
Yeah,
and we brought this up a few shows ago, or it was a few years ago. Who's going to score more? You know, LeBron James or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
And I don't know.
I'm gonna say the first half score of the game.
First half score?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the last one.
All right.
What color Gatorade will be poured on the coach? Clear, lime, orange, red, or blue?
Blue.
Did you know this already?
Did I know what?
That the last time the Patriots won, they poured blue Gatorade.
No, I did not know that.
Yep.
No, I actually just picked blue because of the Patriots, but I did not know that.
Crazy. So anyways,
that's nuts.
All right. Just thought it was kind of fun. I think nice. That's neat stuff to...
Absolutely. Fun to play around with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So... Yeah, man. So Daytona.
It's
time of year. You know it's close when they run the Rolex 24.
I know, right? I'll be honest. Unfortunately... I had planned to settle in to watch a good chunk of that and went out to the bar and expected to get that put on. But most of it was ran on Fox Sports 2, or I believe it was. And I actually found I don't have that on my cable.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't get to see a lot. I saw some online. I worked all weekend.
Yeah.
I did that show for work. So I do have an actual job.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy.
So, hey, Jeff Gordon finds winner's circle again.
It's crazy. You know, I got to watch about the last 20 minutes when they flipped over to Fox Sports 1. And, I watched, and honestly, it was really all I had time for this past weekend was that. You know, I was staying pretty active, you know, on Twitter, seeing, you know, who was leading and all that. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, is there anything the guy can't wheel?
I know, right? Yeah, right. You know, they did a good job. You know, what was cool is, and some controversy about the pass, but you know, they got together with the leading car with a half an hour left, and it spun the leader. But you know, think about it, it's 23 and a half hours in their nose to tail,
right?
You know, that's
you know, and it was another relatively close finish, and especially
was.
In some of the other series of cars that they
had
out there.
Car classes,
were quite a few, you know, very close second, third, and fourth place finishes in those, which, you know, when you talk to someone that maybe doesn't know what the Rolex 24 is or anything like that, or maybe doesn't even know what racing is or what's involved with it, and you're like, oh, they finished 1-2 a second apart. Well, yeah, you know, they did the race in about 3 hours. They nonstop on track action,
so
and to
means,
finish that
so,
close.
So that means that during one pit stop, the other team got in and out of the car, switched drivers 1 second faster than you did,
right?
One time,
and that was the race. Like
that's crazy
in a 24-hour period.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's crazy. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. But, yeah, so, yeah, you know it's getting close, man.
It's getting close.
You know, the duels will be here before we know
Can't wait.
And
can't wait.
I am ready. Man,
I'm ready,
too. So many changes, so many crazy things this offseason.
You know, you mentioned this last show, too, of, you know, when do we come out live with this? You know, because, you know, we're relatively new. When do we start this? Are we coming out too early? Do we have enough to talk about?
Yeah.
And we got a 3-page show sheet for today.
If you're just tuning in, you might want to hit pause and go get comfortable. We got a lot of things to talk about today. I don't think it would be super long, but yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of crazy cool things that are going on in NASCAR right now. So I'm super excited about that.
Like you just said, you got back from Nolens, and Tony actually bumped into a few people out
there.
Man,
I did. I'll be honest with you. It was really cool. So it was an automotive event. I'm in the auto industry, but literally just walking through the show, and I look up, and a guy named Richard Petty is walking right in front of me.
I tweeted a picture out.
Yeah, right.
I got
so
some,
I did get to talk to him and got his autograph, and of course, so I asked him. I said, well, what do you think of this new point system? He says, Richard Petty looks at me. He says, well, they sure made it confusing, didn't they?
Gotta love it, right?
Yeah, and he says, but I'll tell you this. He said, Tony, I'll tell you one thing. I know who's going to win it, and it's going to be the fastest car. If you have the fastest car, it don't matter how they count the points. You build the fastest car, that's who's going to win it.
Right.
And there's a lot of truth
there's
into that.
There's a lot of truth. You know, there are some races where, you know, maybe the fastest car doesn't win a race. But I think ultimately when it boils down to it, if you have a fast car consistently for 36 races, whether they're scoring points backwards or forward, you know, however they're scoring them, you know, you're going to be up there in the standings.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, the cream is going to rise to the top.
Yeah.
The season's long. And he said, that's, you know, we're focused on that. So I'm standing at the show and I look across and I said, boy, that guy looks like Roger Penske. And I walked a little closer, and he turned around and started walking my way, and it was Roger Penske.
That's awesome.
So
you don't see him too often.
No. And so I stopped him, and I said, hey, can I get a picture? Yeah, absolutely. And I asked him the same question. What do you think of the new point system? And he looked at me, and he took a deep breath, and something tells me he's not as excited about this new rules change as Brad is.
Right.
But he said, well, we'll see.
Right.
And that's all. I said, yes, we will. And so anyways, so that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And then, actually, the guy that I got to
There's
talk
more.
To. There is, actually. It was great.
That's awesome.
And I was at work. I got paid and everything. It was awesome. So I got to meet Michael Waltrip, and actually got to talk to Michael for about 5 minutes.
Oh, cool!
And really cool guy. He is the guy that you see, you know, on TV, and so we're sitting there, and so I got my picture and all those things, and asked him the same question, and he said he likes the rules change. He likes that. He said this is what he's been pushing NASCAR to do something like this, and he said, oh, Michael, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, all right, fine. So then he said, but really, this is what they've been doing in the truck series.
they've with been, the countdown yeah, they've been clock. Building to that a
That's
little
what he
bit.
Said. He goes, this is really is no different than the countdown clock.
Yeah.
Oh, they just assign points.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He goes, it's the same thing in my, as Michael say, he says, y'all just gave it a dumb name.
Right.
So the countdown clock is dumb.
That's awesome.
So, and I said, we do this podcast and everything. Yeah, like I said, I literally we get a chance to chat.
Very cool.
And I said, we do this podcast and everything. He said, that's cool. And I said, in a few episodes back, I want heat races. I want, something else. And he says, heat races are dumb.
Oh, wow.
He's like kind of looks off in the distance. He goes, they're stupid. I hate heat races. And I go, okay. I said, well, Mike, the next time I get to see you, but don't hold it in. All right. Just let, I mean, if you have a thought, let it go, man. Just put it right out there, buddy. And he laughed and he said, guys, said, good luck at Daytona. And you guys have seen pictures of the man cave. I came back with a Michael Waltrip autograph, and guess who doesn't have a Michael Waltrip autograph?
Did not have a Michael Waltrip autograph. That's going up.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Yes.
So that was my last couple of days. So
very cool.
That was way cool.
Very cool.
So
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Guess what?
What?
I'm doing a live check right now. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm gonna let you know that the Lap Traffic Podcast has had over 560 downloads.
That's awesome. First
month.
That is great. Right? Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. And we'll get into our normal shout-outs here in a little bit.
Yeah,
but no, that's awesome.
Keep the questions coming. We're gonna hit some later, and we love it. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you guys are liking the show.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for following us, talking to us.
We're having a good time doing it.
No, we are. We really are having a good time.
Until we have to play that song.
Anyways. All right. So, Tony, we talked about it last week that we were going to bring it up this week. And the more and more I kept looking into it, the longer the segment got. But, Tony, there's some sponsor issues out there with some big names.
You know, it's hard to justify the money that it costs to run up front. It's hard for any company to justify cutting that check for that entire year.
Right.
That's a big check.
Yeah, we're not seeing that anymore. I mean, there's a couple, but DuPont. They were Jeff Gordon's sponsor for 36 races,
right.
And even with Jeff Gordon still in the car, they started trickling off little by little throughout the last few seasons there with him. Budweiser, they're not even on a car anymore.
At all?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's crazy. You still got a couple big names that are with some driver, Lowe's for the most part,
sure.
I think with the exception of maybe like two races or something like that, when it switches over to Cobalt is with Jimmy Johnson. FedEx pretty much runs exclusively on Denny Hamlin. And it's actually kind of cool with them is they get to switch off in terms of, it's FedEx, but maybe he's running FedEx Ground, FedEx Express, they're able to get different facets of their company on the car
with their company.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But in Ryan Blaney, I mean, he's got Motorcraft for half the season.
I think they run Motorcraft and Quicklane kind of dual as
sure.
the main
primary.
Sure.
Well,
that's
part
yeah,
of,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a
yeah.
Ford brand,
yeah.
the yep. Quicklane service.
Yeah.
Sure. SKF is with them. I know Target.
Target's backing out basically from a primary sponsor after this year. But, yeah, they're on there for the majority with Kyle Larson, I think, with the exception of five races.
Okay.
So, Tony, you've been in the sport. What does it say that you – are we looking into it too much, or does it say something about the direction of the sport that, companies aren't willing to make that full season investment?
Well, there's a couple things. I think it's going in opposite directions. So the costs are going higher and higher and higher, right? And the viewership is going down.
Right.
So it's harder to justify writing a bigger check than you did last year when fewer people saw your advertisement.
Fair
right?
enough. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think teams are still willing. I think the number of sponsors out there is probably higher.
I've got some
total.
Figures here. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, the professor has figures. So
waiting on that one. I knew that was coming.
It's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you, honey. All right, lay it on me, B.
Hold on. I got one more question for you.
Okay.
Is it just too expensive to fund a team? Look at, Lowell's, for example, okay? They got a big name, like Jimmy Johnson. Does it impact the name knowing that you're going to get that extra TV time, that extra time in Victory Lane, the extra shout outs basically from the driver during the interview? If you've got, a driver like Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick or Brad Keselowski, Joy, if you've got some of those, even some of those bigger names like, Kevin Harvick, he split up between two sponsors for the whole year.
Junior,
he's full this year, but last year I know going into Daytona they were having some issues wrapping up a few spots. So,
I think once like Lowe's, I'll use that as an example. I don't know, once you hitch your wagon to a 7-time champion, I think you're kind of in for the long haul on that one. I think you can't let go of him now and then he wins the 8th one and it's not
and
your
it's
car.
Not you, right? Yeah.
In that picture, that's, you're committed at that point.
Sure. It's crazy the number of sponsors
I'll tell you who does love all this stuff are the people that make the diecast cars. Because then you got to get
Lionel
your
in action.
You got to get your Budweiser car, your Jimmy Johnson car, your whatever. Did I say Jimmy
you
Johnson?
Did say Jimmy Johns. Yeah.
Why did they not sponsor him?
Who?
Why does Jimmy Johns not sponsor
Jimmy
Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson. I know, right? That just makes too much sense. I've given up on the diecast.
You can't keep up with it.
It's impossible to keep up with all of the diecast.
Yeah.
If a special one comes out that I like that paint scheme, then I make sure to get that one. But
I think, and have they come out with it yet? I know it was being done. The Kyle Larson first win?
Yes,
all torn
and it's
up.
Sweet.
Is the steering wheel hanging out the,
window? No, it's not. But
he was still doing donuts, and the steering wheel's off.
He's got multicolor streamers on it. I saw it the other day. It's really cool. And on top, now it's just not the diecast, but now there's the chrome diecast and the elite die. And they're making 4 and 5 versions of the same car.
Yeah.
That come. If you got a guy that has 4 or 5 sponsors, it's impossible to keep up with the diecast. They're making their money because of the amount of times they can come out with a new one. Over the years, with the exception of a few, I think most diecasts, they're not retaining their value anymore either because of the mass production in terms of that.
Is there a Kevin Harvick one that you want? Is there one that you don't have?
There really is one that I don't have, and maybe somewhere down the line, unless someone's really generous and wants to ship it my way, I do not have the Kevin Harvick Elvis 124.
Why do I not remember the Kevin Harvick Elvis? It was
ran. God, I'm trying. I couldn't even tell you the year, to be honest with you. It was back in the RCR days.
Okay.
And they only produced this car for Hershey employees back when he had like Reese's on his car. And so it was a special one time paint scheme he had. Elvis was on the hood. I think there's only about 700 in production, and these things on eBay and some of the diecast trading sites, depending on the when it is, that car will fetch anywhere between 500 and I've seen an autograph go close to $1,000 for that car.
Seriously?
I swear to God.
Wow. So that was just made for the Hershey employees?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now I actually have not that we want to talk diecast here, but I have back in 2001, he ran a special flag scheme at Dover right around September 11th.
Oh.
And they produced the car for GM dealerships only. And I was actually able to get my hands on one of those, which is pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Actually, have you ever been to Hershey, Pennsylvania?
No, sir.
It's actually pretty cool.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is. They're like the streetlights.
Yeah.
Are shaped like Hershey Kisses.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The entire town smells like chocolate.
I believe every minute of that.
And so then I stayed at the Hershey Lodge, and it's go a little Hershey crazy, but like the, of course you get Hershey Kisses on your pillow, and the sheets are Hershey, and then the wallpaper is Hershey. Oh.
It's not the foil, is it?
No. Okay. It isn't, but it's got little inlays of, you know, of Hershey Kisses. And I had to draw the line when they wanted to put chocolate sauce on my steak. I said, oh,
that's funny.
Yeah.
So. All right. So back to our sponsors here. So this is some of the homework that I did. So I looked at the driver chart on JSKI, and I did this just for full-time because I ran out of time myself. So this is some numbers just on full-time drivers that are planning to run all 36 races. There are over 150 different primary sponsors that are going to be on the cars throughout the season. And again, that's just for the full-time drivers. I mean, That's a lot, right?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. So that's good, though. I mean, there's a lot of interest out there, just maybe not at the $20 million range, right?
Yeah. So breaking that down, that's an average of 4.5 different sponsors per full-time team, roughly.
Yeah.
Now, there's some outliers like A.J. Allmendinger. Potentially has 11 different sponsors that might be on his car.
I just read something about they had so many sponsors that it was like, yeah, we can totally do a second car.
Right, yeah, seriously, right?
Like, hey, good for them, man.
That's crazy.
Who's their PR person,
no
you know?
No kidding. Well, and actually, that brings me to my next question. Speaking of PR, all right, Tony, we are 24 days from Daytona when this goes. And we got a lot of teams that have sponsorship that they think locked up. But when you're 24 days out from the biggest race of the year, don't you want to be working with your crew chief, sitting in a simulator, testing if you can go? How annoying is it, or is it just something that the drivers maybe have adapted to in the times in terms of
it's super. I'll answer the question for you. It's super stressful,
right? Like, hey, Clint, we know you're coming to a new team, new manufacturer, but we're having some sponsorship. Hey, can you go fly out here and talk to these guys and try to seal this deal?
Because when you're going to close a deal, you're going to want to bring your driver.
Right.
You're going to want to bring your crew chief. And there are other things that they would rather be doing.
Right.
Not saying that they don't want to meet with sponsors or any of that, but they're focused on
January.
The task at hand. They're focused on the task at hand. But I think it's become that's part of the job, you know. And it's work. It's absolutely, and it's distracting at the track, and it's hard. But you know, that's the battle that they're all fighting right now.
Yeah, it's. I couldn't imagine having that extra added stress on top of knowing the grueling, you know, schedule that's ahead of them. Like you said, not that they don't want to go meet with sponsors, but, you know, we're into the home stretch here of getting ready to go racing. You know, I'd rather be focusing on the track, you know, not the sponsors.
Absolutely. Well, so when I was, you know, I was working on teams, you know, I was in the road racing, Trans Am, Toyota Atlantic stuff. So Toyota Atlantic was just like it was a stepping stone leading up to IndyCars. And it's actually where Danica Patrick came out of.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, yep. So in the Toyota Atlantic series, I'll put it. So here's one of the stories that I can tell is we had a sponsor came in. We're going to sponsor you for 3 races. I expect 2 top fives out of that, okay? Or I'm not writing another check. If you do, I'll continue to sponsor on a race-by-race basis. Okay.
That was pay as you play, basically,
but
right?
Man, that's you want to add a little more pressure in there, please? You know, I mean, that's tough, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's nuts.
And I get that. They want results. But, you know, okay, if you want top five, that check's got to be bigger than the one you just wrote.
Right.
We ran top 10, and he did extend a little while. But, I mean, it's really, really difficult to find those dollars. And those sponsors do expect results.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm going veering off course here, so I'll apologize, but... Look at Nature's Bakery with Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
3-year deal. Now, after 1 year, they're renegotiating.
Right. You know, and that was on our stuff here. You know, that was one of the smaller companies that's got that type of a presence in NASCAR. They're I think I heard they're a 500-employee organization.
Yeah.
You know.
They're not Lowe's.
No, they're not Lowe's.
They're not Home Depot.
No,
they're not,
no
you
yeah.
Know,
they're,
FedEx.
You know, so the fact that they, you know, took a chance, basically, on, you know, they definitely got their name out there.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
There's no way you're not getting your name out there if your name's on a car.
But I'll bet they were expecting, I bet they had higher expectations than what,
oh,
20,
I'm sure.
Where'd she finish 20, in the standing?
20 ifs.
Yeah.
Somewhere
six,
in there. Somewhere
something
in
like
there.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
So, Tony, some numbers here for you in terms of some of the drivers that don't have to worry about going and sealing deals right now.
It's not that many.
No. You want to start there? You got a couple?
Yeah. So, well, we already talked about Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
I think Joey Logano was pretty locked in.
Logano? Yeah.
Chase Elliott, man, good for him, man. You know, being a young driver, I think having that Elliott name helps a little bit with brand recognition. A little bit, but you know they're pretty good. You know, Harvick is good, but man, I don't know how Harvick as fast as he is, and his track record on track. Why he even changes sponsors as many times as he does?
Yeah,
even,
well, but, you know, so not that. A little bit of knowledge with that is, you know, Jimmy Johns came on with him through KHI, his promotion team. You know, Kevin Harvick management actually holds and runs the contracts for, you know, a couple UFC fighters. Cowboy Cerrone holds a couple golfers sponsorships and stuff like that.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, so Jimmy Johns is kind of like one of the first that he – you know, got under his belt and back when he was running some Xfinity races, back even when he was still at RCR. So I know he's built that relationship, and that's kind of why they've come through.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, why, you know, Anheuser-Busch took Budweiser off, or, you know, I don't know how they run in terms of if they're two separate entities or,
well,
or how that worked out.
It's just a different division.
Yeah, you know, maybe they just wanted to bring Bush back out into the limelight a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he's pretty much got a lock between those two.
Yeah, he's pretty locked in. According to Mr. Petty, they're locked in with sponsors. They're
Almirola's
pretty good.
Locked in. Yeah, they're Smithfield is 31 races. And funny story about them, actually. So in the garage at MIS, at least, and I assume this is throughout the garage, you know, outside of the driver haulers, you know, all the teams got a little barbecue grill set up.
Yeah, they're all cooking. Sure.
The 43 boys, wow. Yeah. They have like a buffet, a designated chef that is known in the garage with all of the Smithfield foods and stuff like that.
That'd be kind of nice to have them as a sponsor from that perspective.
Those boys got that stuff hooked up.
I'll bet they do.
Yeah, that's yep. Yep.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, we already talked about, you know, Jimmy Johnson is full.
Yep.
So, as he should be.
Yep.
But what teams are having issues? I mean, there's always...
Yeah, there's quite a few and some big names. And, oh, we forgot one more that's is full. This guy by the name of Paul Menard.
Oh yeah,
he's got Menards. I don't know if there's some weird name correlation there, but he's apparently set for the season.
Oh, imagine that!
Crazy.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, yeah. So okay, so some teams
I totally forgot. I didn't even think of that.
Somehow I didn't think so.
Yeah. Huh.
All right. So some teams that have some sponsors. So we talked about Danica Patrick. Not that these teams maybe necessarily have sponsor issues, but as of the other day, there's no set number of races for any of these sponsors. So Austin Dillon, you know, he's got his usual crew of Dow, Cheerios, but according to the driver chart, there's no set number.
Does it ever worry you that like Dow Chemical and Cheerios are on the same car?
Right? Like there's no correlation there whatsoever.
I just
thought
of that.
You know, Clint Bowyer, they had 9 different potential sponsors listed for him with no guarantee.
Do they even have enough?
I saw something the other day that said there's a chance he could run a few, sponsorless cars outside of the designated NASCAR logos on the quarter panels.
Haas automation.
But that Haas would, you know, if push comes to shove, would throw on the car. You know, you would think that would have not been an issue, but yeah. they had 9 different potential sponsors. Mobil 1 is not going to be a primary sponsor on any of the cars. They're just going to run a couple on Kevin's car, actually, I believe. I know last year they ran 3 different Mobil 1 schemes at the same race, which was kind of cool. Stenhouse Jr. only has sponsors for 24 races.
So that's two-thirds of the year.
Right.
Then what?
You're right. You know, Kyle Busch, I assume he's going to be fine, but they did not have any set number of races listed
for again. Any correlation between M&M's, Skittles, and Pedigree dog food?
Well, actually, I think Pedigree's manufactured by that same company or something. I don't know. I thought that was a tie there.
Don't
I could be wrong.
Don't tell me those are just that's dog food in candy coated shells. Please don't don't ruin that.
Matt Kenseth has DeWalt for 15 races, and that's all they had listed for him. Newman has Caterpillar for 22 races, and there were six other potential sponsors listed to fill the rest. Kurt Busch, I think Gene Haas is his boy, so you know that Haas and Monster are going to be on his car.
Gene Haas stepped up and said, "This guy's too good to not be in a car, and if I have to sponsor it myself, I'm
I'll
doing
do it,
it."
Right? Yep. AJ Allmendinger, it had 11 different sponsors listed for him with no set number of races for any of them.
Total side note on AJ Allmendinger.
Yes.
AJ Allmendinger tested at the road course at Charlotte.
I saw that. Very cool. There was actually, so we're recording today, Tuesday. We're going to post this tomorrow, but there's a test going on at Phoenix today too, which is, Carl Edwards was actually there today. Did a little live thing on Twitter and Facebook, and I watched that a little bit. That was kind of cool.
So he was there for the test?
He was back. Well, he wasn't driving. He was just back there talking with Suarez.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. Truex has Bass Pro Shops for 25 races. A couple other sponsors listed. 5-Hour Auto Owners Insurance.
I was kind of curious to see 5-Hour Energy didn't stick with Boyer. You know.
Yeah. So there, Tony, that's... So that's just the full-time drivers with some potential issues out there in terms of, you know, maybe they're going to have their full season booked. Maybe they got to throw a sponsor on there as a freebie just because, hey, this company gave us 25 races. We need two more. Let's throw them on there.
Yeah, maybe you know, if you're trying to salvage that relationship, maybe. But, man, that's a lot of money. I mean, those races are expensive.
Yeah. So... sponsors 24 days before Daytona here, you know, it's
question marks.
There's a lot of question marks out there.
Yeah, the PR folks are working for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But so anyways, I think the other thing that we wanted to talk about, well, one of the things we wanted to talk about is they're changing actually the structure of how races are run, like a race weekend, laid out.
Yep.
Like less practice time.
I saw that. Potentially about an hour less on track practice time.
Yep.
Throughout the race weekend,
new aero package, different tire, less practice.
Yes,
okay,
all right. Well, you know, I don't know what an hour less practice is going to do, stretched out over a 2-day practice session, basically.
That'll save money at the Goodyear trailer.
Basically, on any given race weekend, odds are you've got at least two races running between either Xfinity truck, ARCA, some weekends you've got all three running. I know too from us going to MIS, Friday practice starts about noon. You're getting to the garage about 8-9 o'clock. You're out. If you're going to the race for the weekend, I'm not talking about you're driving in Sunday, driving out Sunday.
Yeah.
If you're going for the weekend,
it's a long weekend.
If they cut an hour practice time, if you're going to the practice, if you're not just camping and tailgating and all that kind of stuff, if you're actually going, I don't think cutting an hour is really going to condense the weekend that much.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to hurt anything. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
They are long weekends.
Yes. Yeah.
So, man. So, social media has been a buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Man, and thanks for everybody for retweeting and sharing. And
I hope I'm not annoying people with my Twitter retweets trying to get us some followers, but I would have assumed people wanted free autographs.
Yeah, well,
and we're building, slowly but surely, but we're getting out there. Tony, I issued Tony a challenge last week.
I had a good week.
Thinking I was gonna clean house, and he's actually running away with it. If you didn't listen to last week's show, I issued Tony a challenge. We have a contest going on right now. If we get to 500 followers on Twitter, I'm going to give a one person 10 autographs and the pictures pinned on our Twitter. And the same on Facebook. If we get to 500 followers before the Daytona 500, I've got another batch of 10 autographs that we're going to give away. And I issue Tony a challenge, since he kind of runs the Facebook a little bit more and I do Twitter, that I'd get to 500 before he does. And he's got about a 30-follower lead going. He's got about 272 followers on Facebook right now, and I've got about 230 on Twitter.
Yeah, it was up. Yeah, it's been up by 40 or 50.
Yeah.
I think that's going to change.
It's potential. It's potential. real quick, if you haven't checked out our website, hit up the LappedTrafficPodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, the Lap Traffic Podcast, Twitter, at Lapped Traffic PC, Instagram, the Lap Traffic Podcast. You can listen to us on Podbean or search NASCAR on iTunes and look for our little logo of the Lap Traffic. You can search the Lap Traffic on iTunes, subscribe to us, review us. Yeah. We're on there.
We're easy to find on iTunes. We're the only one that's rated explicit for some reason.
And you know what? At this point, I'm just willing to embrace that. So,
yeah,
shit.
Hey, yeah, right?
There. Now we'll be explicit for today, too.
Bleep iTunes. Yeah, yes, that's what I think. No. Whatever. It is what it is. We'll roll with it, man. But, we're having a good time. Actually, I was talking to a lot of people over the weekend about what we're doing, and it was really cool. They love the website. You know, pictures of the man cave,
awesome.
Pictures of some of the races that we've been to and stuff. So we'll keep adding that. Did we add the pictures from this weekend? Richard Petty,
on Twitter. Yes, I got to get them on the website, but they are out there on Twitter.
I got a selfie in there with Roger.
Yes,
real quick.
Yes. I'll get those on the website. And actually, somebody sent us an idea of maybe adding some fan pictures to the website and stuff like
that.
So, Tony, this blew my mind away. We actually had a couple people ask us if they could send us some stuff. So we got fan mail that's going to start rolling in.
You know what? That's so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so
we love it.
And we do have a P.O. box. We were going to wait a little bit to give that out. If anybody...
Just hit us up and we'll send it to you.
It's P.O. box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072, and I'll put that on the website. And if you've got pictures or anything like that, if you've got an awesome NASCAR collection, we're happy to get that out there if you want to show that bad boy off.
Yeah, send some pictures, man.
If you want to email us, admin@thelaptrafficpodcast.com, and I'll put that up on the website too. I just have our social media contact on there, but I'll happy to throw all that
out
there.
You know what? I realized a while back when I first moved to this town. So the town we live in is only 2 square miles. There's about 15,000 residents, but it's like a 6-digit post office box number.
Yep.
Like there's 100,000 post office boxes or potentially or something. Why? I don't. So whatever.
Yes.
But hit us up, send us stuff, whatever, man. We're all about it. We like hearing from you. We have our ideas, right? We like what we think is new and what we want to talk about. If you have a question,
please. And we've had some people do that. Facebook, want to give a couple shout outs to Andrew Brzezinski, Aaron Lamp from Chicagoland. Maybe him and Steve have hooked up there once in a while.
Yeah.
And then Chris Lowther. All you guys sent us some comments, some feedback and on Facebook, and we really appreciate that.
Chris gave us an idea.
Yes, Chris gave us an idea and a question.
Can I get to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I skip ahead, Professor?
Yeah.
All right. So, and this was really cool. So if you guys have anything, please pass it along. Chris had a great question. Hey, Tony, why don't the lug nuts cause more flat tires? Because, it has happened, right?
Like,
Jeff Gordon, whatever. That's a great question because those lug nuts are flying all around and they're running over lug nuts all over the place. So here's the real answer. They are cutting tires, okay? Remember, though, they're not real sharp. They're hot as hell, but they're not super sharp. And the tire's thick, right? I mean, it's brand spanking new, so you got it at its maximum, right? But here's what it'll happen. When it runs it over, it will slice it. So take like if you want a big piece of rubber, right? And you just took a knife and just made a slice in it. Here's what happens. as it slides around a corner and you're getting cross force side to side, it will actually tear that. So now take that piece of rubber and tear it sideways, and it'll make a triangle. That triangle gets far enough, gets big enough, it will chunk. You've heard that term many times. The tires are chunking, right? And that's part of that stuff. That stuff will happen. It'll happen sometimes just because of their surface or the setup of the car. But that causes it a lot. So now, so think of this. You just lost a chunk of that tire. And now, so imagine like in your own car, you're going 75 miles an hour down the freeway and your tires are shaking and the steering wheel shaking. Well, it's the same thing, except it's magnified by 3.
So that's when you hear some of them saying, I've got a vibration.
Oh, boy, do they have a vibration. Okay, and that's what I mean. It's little stuff like that that can cause that. So, Chris, fantastic question. The answer is it's rare that it'll take out a tire. Because those tires are, I mean, obviously, you know, it's taking an 800-horsepower engine in a 3,400-pound car at 200 miles an hour. It's tough, right? And a lug nut's going to have a hard time taking it down, but they do a lot of damage. And as I told you when we talked online, Chris, they hurt like a mother when they hit you.
Right.
I've been on pit road, and when they roll under that car and they shoot, they shoot them out.
Yep.
Like, you know, wrist rocket, man. You're getting pelted with those things. It's not comfortable. So, Chris, thanks for the question.
Absolutely.
Awesome question. If you guys got another one, send it our way,
Fire
and I'll do
over.
My best to answer.
Yes. So, Twitter, a couple shout-outs to some new followers. At Ernie282849, he's a big Joe Gibbs Racing
fan.
Yeah,
I saw that. That's cool.
At DustinBlack85, he is a big senior fan.
Welcome,
and
Dustin.
Apparently a Red Wings fan, too, based on some pictures out there. So,
he's the guy.
Nice to have
it's him. Oh, that's the
At Wally Action, big Kevin Harvick fan, and he's pretty popular out there in Twitter land. He's got a lot of followers, interacts with
nice.
A lot of people,
and
he gave us a follow.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. At Jones Brent 570, big NASCAR guy, and also a big Detroit sports guy. So it's nice to start getting some local guys following us, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And last shout out goes out to another NASCAR podcast that I came across, Right Sides Only Radio. Listened to a couple of their shows over the weekend, and they are really good. Check them out.
That was actually one of our names that we looked at, right?
We did come up with something like it was something pit road related. That was something that came up. So
Splash
yes.
and Go.
Splash and Go, I think that was the one. Yeah. They're another good little, not little, not to doubt, but they're another podcast that's out there that I enjoyed listening to. And I've talked with those guys a little bit via DM.
I haven't caught up with that one. I'm way behind. So.
Yes. Well, you work. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So last, real quick again, please check us out. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and retweet, share our pinned post so that we can give some autographs away by the 500.
Yeah, I don't,
okay.
Like I said, I don't think
Got
that's going to be a problem. Do we want to tease?
Oh, so
we have a big we. This is going to be big. You guys, if you only listen to one, you know, right now, you can whatever.
Yeah.
You want to hit the show. You want to listen to our show before the Daytona 500.
Yeah. So I think we'll confirm that our guest has confirmed that they will be on our show the week leading into the 500. And I think maybe next week, maybe we'll give a little bit bigger of a hint. And then maybe the week before, we'll come out and say
especially who it is. In Twitter land.
Especially in Twitter land.
Yeah.
Yes. If you are a NASCAR Twitter follower, whatever you want to call
gonna
yourself.
You're going to know who this
is. Odds are you're either following this person or they've come across your timeline in some fashion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
and they
reached out to us.
We talked to them, and they've more than willingly said they'd come on the show. So we're very excited about
that. We're super excited about that.
Yeah,
so
we
what,
talked
two,
to them last week. Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Stay
tuned.
Yeah, stick around. Don't go anywhere. I'm actually really, really looking forward to this because I don't know.
I'm pumped.
I don't know what this person's going to even talk about it. You know, it's so I'm just going to sit back.
Well, yeah, because we said we'd send a show sheet, and they're like, let's just wing it.
Just kick it
out
there.
Let's just kick it.
I'm like, all right. I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
So, So, man, Daytona, speaking of, the entry list is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Hit us.
Man,
give it to us.
It is unbelievable. Like, Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Right.
Today. In a car that's got a charter.
Yeah. It's nuts. You know, it's crazy. I think leading up and getting into speed weeks, we very well could potentially have anywhere from 10 to 15 cars vying for four spots in the 500.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Michael Waltrip, his final race.
Yep.
So good luck to Michael.
Absolutely.
But, man, Corey LaJoie, Reed Sorensen, Timmy Hill, Joey Gase. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And, DJ
and I'm
going
to be honest, a couple names are some very new names to me. DJ Kennington. I'm not going to even pretend like I'm familiar with.
I'd be lying to you.
Yep. Now, I have heard of Robert Richardson Jr. That name rings a bell.
Yeah,
I think he's run a few races.
Yeah. Sure.
Timmy Hill rings a bell. Reed Sorensen in Premium Motorsports. Obviously, he's been around a while.
Do you know who's not
who's not
on that list?
Who?
Who's not on that list?
Who?
The Biff. The Biff.
The Biff. Oh, the Biff. He tweeted today.
He's alive.
He is alive. We can confirm that.
That's got to be his first communication in a while. I haven't seen anything.
Actually, I think he tweets a lot. We follow him, and I've seen some stuff come out. But in terms of actual acknowledgement of anything, this was, I think, the first tweet where he acknowledges. Someone had asked him, you know, what's going on, and he's like, I'm still working on it, and my fans are my number one priority. And that was it.
Well,
so
TikTok, brother. It's 24 days
24
away.
24 days.
Like, you know, and I mean, so Timmy Hill got a ride and you didn't?
Right.
How does Greg Biffle not get a ride?
Yeah.
And like I said, Jeffrey Earnhardt's in a car that's chartered, that's in, that's locked in, right? That, as I understand, right?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, the rules can change from day to day.
Yeah.
But he's locked in, but Greg Biffle isn't in that ride, and it's just confusing to me. And he's got his own reasons, and I support it, whatever they are. I mean, that's cool.
So let me ask this. Was he contacted by these, and it's potentially do you think it's a money issue at this point?
I can't imagine that it is. I mean, I just don't think it is. I don't know, you know, I don't think that he's just sitting back waiting for the paycheck. If I had to guess.
Could it be something along the lines of, man, I saw what Clint Bowyer went through last year, and I don't want to go through that, so maybe I'll just wait it out and see if something better comes along next year.
That's absolutely possible, but here's what doesn't make sense to me. That really doesn't come into play as much at Daytona.
Sure.
Even if you're just going for one ride.
Right.
I mean, he can draft.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He can drive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as big of a deal as, you know, a month from now.
Sure.
When, you know, whatever, you're running Atlanta's and Charlotte's and things like that. So I don't understand it. I just don't.
I hope he gets a ride. You know, I think he still's got something left in the tank
I would absolutely agree.
It's funny, like, I hope people don't think we're picking on him, because we're definitely not picking on him at all. It's just baffling to us that a driver of his caliber, you know, week by week, we just keep knocking time off and still without a ride.
And here, and so, you know, and part of it too was what kind of instigated it was a little bit was when he left Roush and said, hey, I have lots of opportunities out there. I got, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Made something to that effect anyways.
Yes.
And just said, hey, Matt, you know, don't worry about me. I'm good to go.
Yep.
There's rides out there. And here we are a couple weeks away from the Daytona 500, and, you know, he doesn't have a ride lined up yet.
No.
That's
public knowledge.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, yep. So, but you know, they seem to add three a week to the list. So,
who knows?
Tomorrow's another day.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Monster, man, first year for Monster.
Monster, you know, so this is as mundane of a detail that I could pick at, all right? And I saw this, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I just can't wrap my brain around this. So Monster's replacing the driver's names on the windshield, which they added those just a couple. It used to just be a clear shield. There wasn't anything on there. And then, you know, they started adding the driver's names, and then if they're in the chase, they put it in yellow. Well, Monster's taking the driver's names off the car, the windshield, and putting the Monster logo. Which at first I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, no big deal.
But then, they've done that for a long time. The nationwide has been on, you know.
But in a and this is how I was thinking about this in terms of, okay, I get it. You want to have your name out there as much as possible. You paid a lot of money to sponsor this sport. So from that, I get. But from a from knowing that Monster wants to attract new fans, for me, I would think it would be easy to get brand identification, number identification, and driver identification if when they're going around in a circle or at the road courses twice a year, seeing the driver's name on that windshield. Oh, that's a yellow 22. That's Joey Logano, and that's Pennzoil.
Especially when they're changing sponsors in color schemes from week to week.
Week to week, right? You know, so to make it easier for the, you know, it's that way, you know, it's a pain trying to watch that scroll, let alone in terms of just trying to find out what place your driver's in if you know who your driver is.
And you know,
in the
teams. I hate agreeing with you, but I know. Yeah, but I think you're right.
So, it's, like I said, it's so minute, but from a knowing that they want to draw fan attention, that was, to me, is something like, okay, I think that's an easy identifier in terms of, oh, there's the number 48 car. Oh, that's Jimmy Johnson. I see his name there. I see his number, and sure. I see his, you know, it's repetition in terms of learning the drivers, their sponsors, and things from a new fan perspective.
Maybe they don't care.
Well, maybe they don't care.
They just want their name on it.
They just want the name on there. It's possible.
Okay, that's...
I mean, if I had that money, too, I'd probably want my name on every windshield, right?
Yeah. Because I said so.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, damn right. Yeah.
So, I think we're getting close now. We're going to have to start doing some formal preseason picks.
Yeah, we did it a little bit in the first couple of shows before we went live, but...
I want to see these new package. I want to see this running.
Yes. So, yeah, I think maybe next week we'll do some preseason picks.
We should do a poll.
We could do a poll?
Yeah.
Put a poll out there? Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. We'll pick Daytona just because I think we're going to... Once our actual format comes into play when we're covering races, we'll pick each race weekly. So we'll do that leading up to week.
And maybe when we have our special guest on.
Yes,
maybe
we'll
get their pick.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, I'm on to
But I'm thinking
here.
Maybe next week we'll let's put in pen our champion and our final four.
All right, I'm down with that.
I think that'll work.
I'm down with that.
So, and Tony, you got anything else?
Man, we got a lot of things coming up. Again, you know, we're going to definitely want to cover what we're going to have Speed Week, you know, or duels, are coming up.
Yeah.
Our special guest, and I'm sure there'll be three more new rule changes and six new drivers jumping into the fray.
Yes.
So,
all right. Well, make sure you listen to us, iTunes, Podbean. Yep. TheLapTrafficPodcast.com, Facebook at The Lap Traffic Podcast, Twitter at The Lap Traffic PC, and see you next week.
Thanks for holding on for the ride. We'll be back next week. If you got any questions, hit us up, and we will talk to you next week.
See ya.